my friends. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show. Bringing you guys this morning the latest world news and health research. And I appreciate the emails and support I keep getting from everybody. I'm trying to get updated. I've got behind us on my emails over the weekends. I got a lot of emails. And so thank you again for keeping us up to date in your lives and what's going on. And thank you for a lot of the individuals I have that send me articles and new stuff, because some of the stuff I get sent occasionally, I've missed it. I haven't seen it. And you guys sometimes have some pretty good sources from areas. I just got to make sure I go in and vet it. So if you're sure, make sure you stay updated on everything with the Ted and Austin Brower Show. Sign up for the weekly newsletter, your name, last name, email to the Brower Show, and the Health Masters Report. Subscribe to both of them, in my opinion. That way you're getting the specials and sales we have, and you're going to get the show updated, sent right to you. And again, we so far are back on YouTube. We're not banned yet. So we've been keeping everything really clean and tight on YouTube as far as making sure the reels and the shorts are, like, you know, health only, and kind of playing the game right now. So thank you guys again for getting that out there every single day and continuing getting the truth out there. And be sure, if you guys need anything, the product of the week, the D3 10,000 K2, on sale for one last day. Be sure to check that out. It's like over 20% off, I think, right now. Pretty big sale on it. So be sure to check that out. And how are you doing this morning over there, bud? You get everything updated? I don't know if it was Florida or the rest of the country. We had some massive updates on the internet system.
Oh, last night I was trying to make a phone call, and the phones wouldn't work. Nah. Internet wouldn't hook up. We got in here this morning, and it started doing the same thing on our system here.
We had to reboot the whole system multiple times.
We just rebooted the whole internet system here in the office about 3 minutes ago, so I'm still trying to pick up the pieces on that. So you guys, I'm glad we're here. It was almost a tape day.
Yeah, it was.
Almost had to play tape. Oh, by the way, this is an interesting article, and it says, why are men fading? And as far as becoming men, and they're not men anymore. And the article goes into detail about how the massive reduction of testosterone now has affected almost every single man on the planet. Now think about that for a second. And last night I was speaking to a young fellow, and we were talking about testosterone and a lot of other things. And we were talking about what happens with people, who basically don't understand, how important testosterone is. And then I would talk to some other people, and their testosterone has gone up since they started adding zinc and D3 and magnesium. Yep. That's very, very, very important. I mean, think about that. So zinc, D3, and magnesium. I take those every single day. The last time I had my testosterone tested, and I do not use hormone replacement therapy. It was at around 800. I don't know what it currently is, but that was last time I tested it, which is extremely high.
Testo Plus helps out too with that.
It's Testo Plus, yeah. But I've learned that zinc and magnesium and D3 and also HGH stimulate will really, really help a lot of that, especially with libido. But the reality is that, we talked last night. It was funny. I talked to a young guy, and he's having an issue, and we start talking about sexual differentiation during, basically developmental phases of, embryology, utero, yeah. And how if you have a young boy who basically his mother is using a lot of hormones in her food supply, even wittingly or unwittingly or whatever, or soy products, or drinking soy milk, that it can change the brain chemistry of a child from a left brain dominated hemisphere to a right brain dominated hemisphere, which can cause that child at that point to become sexually confused. Now, mind you, here's how I look at this. Sexual confusion is very, very real. That's why they've capitalized on it, Austin. The world has, as far as with the transgender.
That's exactly right.
They've taken a lot of kids now. Let me step it back one notch. When mammals are basically conceived, they're conceived female. It's the Y chromosome from the male chromosome that basically changes that and makes that woman start producing testosterone through her ovaries and through basically her adrenal glands to cause sexual differentiation between the zygote. In other words, the clitoris becomes, a penis. The ovaries become testicles. It's all based on testosterone and the amount of testosterone that the woman produces. If the woman doesn't produce enough testosterone because she's eating a lot of compounds with estrogen in them, the estrogen and testosterone are basically competitive, and they're antagonistic.
Correct.
Okay, so that child can be born, instead of a left brain dominated male hemisphere, can be born with a right brain dominated female hemisphere. But again, it still goes back to the point of you have to make a choice on what you want to do as far as being gay or being straight. It's always a choice. It's, God gives us the choice. Now, you may be more attracted to men if you have this issue and you're a guy. That's a fact. But you've got to realize that, you know, God is still sovereign. He can help you get through all of that stuff, especially with the right type of therapy. But the problem that we have nowadays is that now these people who have done this to these children intentionally, using bisphenol A, using all the compounds, using all the hormones in the food, they knew what was going to happen when they did this. They understand basic biology like I do.
Why do you think soybean oil is in everything now?
It's in everything.
I mean, it's in everything.
I mean, the other day I was at a restaurant, and I said, I need to have my eggs cooked in butter.
Yeah.
We use butter. I said, okay. Is it pure butter? Well, no, we mix it with soybean oil.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I said, why?
I said, no, I don't want that. I want real. It was the clarified butter. It was liquid butter.
Okay.
And what they did, they mixed soybean oil with it.
Yep. It's a cut.
Yeah, no. And then I said, no, I want you to use regular butter. You know, I'll get it off the doggone buffet. You know, I'll give you, you know, a couple tablespoons of butter. I'll cook my eggs in that. And I had to go that far to get that done. And you see, everybody knows that doggone soybean oil is going to have those phytoestrogens in it. That's why I read the article I wrote, "Does Soy Turn Little Boys into Little Girls?" So, ladies, if you're pregnant, that baby basically in your body and what you put in it is sacrosanct. You leave it alone. You don't inject it with a bunch of chemicals in it. You don't inject it with hormones. You don't inject it with, you know, with shots and vaccines. You leave it alone. Every time they've ever tried to mess with women who are pregnant, they've had problems with it. And now they're having a lot of women who've gotten the COVID shot have been suffering with excessive bleeding, Austin.
Yep.
So a lot of women are miscarrying. So a lot of people are having extreme problems as far as reproduction right now because they took the COVID vaccine and because of the estrogen in the food supply. And men's sperm counts are at an all-time low right now because of this.
Wait, and something I want to add on to this, because this is a topic that's starting to really get a lot more coverage now, not just the food supply, which is obviously a major, major factor when it comes to phytoestrogens and soy and pregnancy and all these different things. They're really starting to come out now, and they're saying that about 80% of sunscreens have very worrisome ingredients in them. Now,
that's a fact.
This is from Time Magazine. I just pulled a main article up here. It gets way deeper than this. They don't even try to call it out as much as it is. But they're talking about here now, the Journal of American Academy of Dermatology is saying that women are used about twice as diligent about putting on sunscreen. The problem with this is that research discovered about 80% of the products essentially have worrisome ingredients in them. And it says right here, oxybenzone is a chemical that can disrupt the hormone system. And I mean, if you look at some of these sunscreens, have you ever looked at some of the ones on the back of them? I mean, it's a paragraph this long of different ingredients in them. And so, again, what they're talking about here is now that a lot of these compounds they're adding to them cause all types of hormone dysregulation, and in long term can cause a lot of different health problems in men and women, especially if you think about it. If a woman's going out a lot and she's doing a lot of sunscreen on while she's pregnant, that's absorbing through the skin.
Well, it is, and that's why zinc is the best thing to use for sunscreen.
Yeah.
Just zinc. You get a zinc ointment.
And zinc oxide?
And what it does, it basically is all white. It makes you look like you're Casper the Friendly Ghost when you put it on. You look awful, you know, on the beach with that on you. But it stops your skin from getting burned. It protects it, and it doesn't pump a bunch of chemicals into your body. Yeah. And I've learned for years like that. And, you know, and quite frankly, just wear a hat. Well, okay, that seems awful easy, doesn't it? Just wear a hat. I remember Sharon, even when she was young, she used to lay out in the sun all the time.
Yeah.
You take a bath in baby oil and go cook. And I remember she had all kinds of damage to her skin, but she always covered her face.
I know. Dark tanning oil, baby. 4 SPF.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've heard that. They've got a new product coming out. It's Wesley Snipes cocoa butter.
Yes. Get dark on it.
Get dark on it. I'm being facetious now. We joked about that a couple of years ago. But the thing about it is that Sharon always had good skin because she, you know, at least on her face, because she kept it covered all of the time. And she realized that she had to protect that because she was a professional model and she didn't want to start getting a bunch of wrinkles. I know people that basically lay out in the sun every day, and they don't realize that even with SPF protection, you're going to age with sun on your face all the time. But a lot of people just really want to feel good with the sun, and they won't cover their face up, and they get all kinds of crow's feet and wrinkles, and they start aging very, very quickly. Every woman that I know, and I don't mean to pick on women because the same thing happens to men, who lay out in the sun, because most men don't lay out in the sun. They have to work out in the sun. They start aging very, very quickly, even if they're using sunscreen, not to mention the endocrine disruption from the sunscreens you're putting into your body, which are being absorbed through your skin. Remember, your skin is a very large, you know, absorption organ. It's the largest eliminating organ is your skin. And when your kidneys aren't working right or your colon's not working right, a lot of people start having body odor problems because their skin is eliminating stuff. It's one of the reasons you get acne, all the toxins that are in your system. Very important that you take care of your skin and don't be putting a lot of things on there that absorb into the skin. That's why a lot of medicines are applied dermally, Austin.
Yep.
They'll absorb directly into the skin. Now, what I've learned, like if you have a bump or whatever, everybody gets a bump every once in a while, what you do is use a little bit of iodine. Liquid iodine. You can buy iodine tincture at the grocery store for a couple bucks. You know, you can just take a little bit and put it on your skin. It's not to be used internally, but you can put it on your skin, and nothing gets through iodine. So if you've got some bacteria issues that are causing some problems with some acne or whatever, I would try iodine first before I started putting, you know, prescription drugs on your body or taking internal stuff. Try the iodine. It works really, really, really well. By the way, this is an interesting article that came out this morning. If I could get my computer to boot up, which now is still playing games with me, this is just perfect. Okay.
Well, this is actually what I was reading here earlier. It's making Daily Mail now. They're basically starting to cover what's going on with RFA. RFK Jr. is claiming that DARPA is behind the geoengineering program.
We covered that, yes.
Yeah, I know, but Daily Mail, there's a bunch of platforms now that are starting to cover this stuff. And they're saying, is this really a conspiracy theory?
And this
is
very real.
Is this stuff very real? The fact that we don't even know what all these budgets go to with DARPA and how they have this endless amount of money that continues to go. And so once again, you guys talked about, the reason I'm bringing this up, you guys emailed me about it, remember, about a month ago, and asked me about, you know, RFK Jr. calling this out. And basically now he's calling it a crime against humanity, and he's vowing to stop it. Now,
we told him a couple months ago, when people were insinuating he was talking about this. We said, when we hear him talk about that, he went on Dr. Phil and talked about this. One of the people in the audience where they were asking questions, they straight asked him, called him out on it. And he said, it's very real. They're doing this, and he's going to see what's going on with it, try to get it stopped.
Well, then my biggest concern with the whole thing is because DARPA falls under the umbrella of the Pentagon, I don't know how much.
It's classified.
Right. Because what they're going to do is they're going to say, oh, yeah, we know a little bit about a geoengineering program. Here's the documents on it. They're going to hand them a 100-page document. The whole thing's going to be completely redacted. They're going to say, here you go.
Well, did you see what the White House said yesterday?
About
Jeffrey Epstein?
Don't even. I'll pull it up.
Pull it up.
I haven't seen this yet here. All right, golly. You guys are going to love this. Yeah, as I saw the article. Let me pull it up real quick here. I had to reboot on everything.
I'll read it to you from the Gateway Pundit. The White House says it has no timeline for releasing the Epstein files.
Zero.
Told you guys.
And they have blasted. They have blasted Pam Bondi on this because they said.
Not her fault.
Well, no.
She got stopped.
She got on national television and said, I have the entire Epstein files on my desk right now. They're getting released this week. Fox.
2-3 months ago.
That was back in February, guys. It was almost 3 months ago now. And then they asked Donald Trump in an off-the-cuff meeting. He goes, oh, I don't know anything about that. He goes, you have to, you know, refer to the attorney general on that. I don't know what's going on here.
Here's what it says. The White House admitted it has no specific timeline. It can be called that last month, President Donald Trump was asked point blank about the long-awaited release of documents tied to Jeffrey Epstein during a swearing-in ceremony of Paul Atkins as the new chairman of the Securities Exchange Committee. Reporter asked him, when can we expect the Epstein document to be released? Trump responded calmly but importantly, I don't know. I'll speak to the attorney general about that. I really don't know. Of course, he's doing obfuscation now with that. Epstein and him were buddies. During an interview on Full Measure with Cheryl Atkinson, Comer accused Pam Bondi's DOJ of stonewalling the release of the Epstein files. Pam Bondi's not stonewalling anything. She was going to release this. She was told not
to. That's exactly right.
Speaking about the newly formed task force on the declassification of federal secrets, which is investigating major scandals, including the Epstein files, the JFK assassination, which we've never had the whole files released on that yet, and the 9/11 cover-ups, Comer exposed the alarming pattern of bureaucratic resistance he has encountered. Representative Ann Pauline Luna of Florida, chairwoman of the Task Force of the Declassification of Federal Secrets, has also intensified her demands for Attorney General Pam Bondi to release these files. Okay, on February 25th, 2025, remember, Austin, you said in February, TGP detailed Luna's public confrontation with the Attorney General, noting Luna had sent letters to the DOJ on February requesting updates of the declassification process. Bondi has repeatedly claimed she's reviewing the Epstein files, which is not true, on Fox News, that the documents are sitting on my desk right now, exactly what you said, Austin, and that the release is a directive from President Trump. However, her promises have yet to materialize into the full disclosure demanded by Luna and her allies. The Gateway Pundit reported that Bondi's initial release was met with backlash particularly after conservative influencers received binders labeled the Epstein Files Phase 1, which contained little new information.
That was right here when they came out with this. They said, oh, it's out. We got it. We're releasing it. And then everybody goes to it and goes, dude, this is the same stuff that got released like 2-3 years ago.
Well, 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah, a lot of stuff here was all public record stuff.
Well, we've got to understand. You know, we've got to understand, and I don't mean to belabor this because a lot of you guys don't understand what happened, that, you know, Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein were best friends. And there's a lot of stuff that happened that was really bad between these two. And, you know, and Jeffrey Epstein was basically a pervert. I mean, what I had read is that for his 50th birthday party, he had several young girls sent over from Paris, and basically they were like 12 years of age. I mean, this is some sick stuff, guys. And so you don't understand what happened here as far as from a – gosh, I don't even like talking about this stuff, Austin.
Say, it's Tuesday.
But people don't realize that a lot of people understand that Mossad is involved in a lot of this because Jeffrey Epstein was a Mossad operative.
That's exactly right.
I've got an article here in front of you that I can read, but it's going to make so many people so mad about Donald Trump that it's not going to be something that, you know, anybody wants to know. I can read part of it. Every person in a position of power should be suspected of being controlled through sexual blackmail, since this Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan group controls virtually every aspect of organized government, the press, and the financial system, to name a few. You've heard of the bizarre sexual initiation of Yale University Skull and Bones Secret Society, where the would-be bonesman reveals his sexual secrets to his fellow inmates and initiators from the very start of their social ascent. You should say a bonesman is blackmail and falls under the control of society. The serious scenarios played out in virtually every sphere of influence at one degree or another. As it happens, both presidential candidates are connected to all kinds of sexual scandals through Jeffrey Epstein, the likes which we can explore the life. And then I'm going to let you guys go ahead and just look this up. So you can look up Katie Johnson. I'm not going to go into detail about this stuff and, you know, and who they are. And then you had alleged witnesses with all of this stuff with Tiffany Doe. And, you know, she goes on to her affidavit to identify a 12-year-old victim of Epstein, as well as the witness Epstein making death threats to girls should they reveal the abuse. It's unbelievable how, if you read this stuff, it's unbelievably sickening. But the charges were later withdrawn, you know, before certain people got elected. So it goes on and on and on. Just Lane Feingold, not just Lane Feingold. This is the other girl who basically was involved with Jeffrey Epstein. She was another person that was just absolutely, I'm not going to talk about this stuff. This is just too negative. It's just, I don't want to go into detail on this stuff because I know too much about this stuff that I want to continue breathing air on this planet for a little bit. By the way, Israel is going to have said that they're going to seize control of Gaza and they're going to have it indefinitely. This is no surprise to anybody since they want to put a resort there. And Benjamin Netanyahu already had plans for the resort before the invasion ever took place. Israel's government has approved the plan to seize all of the Gaza Strip and hold control over the territory for an unspecified length of time, officials have revealed. Government officials said the news approved offensive plan would move Gaza's civil population southward and keep humanitarian aid from falling into the hands of the terrorist group Hamas, which is basically being funded by a lot of people, probably through Mossad. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet ministers unanimously approved plans for the new offensive. You know, I'm going to say something here, and it really bothers me, Austin, and I'm not trying to pick on Israel here, but Israel's government, because of Benjamin Netanyahu, is unbelievably corrupt. He's been under multiple indictments, and a lot of this stuff is being done through organized crime. Anthony Mossad. And so I know Benjamin Netanyahu. I had lunch with him with about 12 other people many, many years ago. And quite frankly, I felt like I needed to go in and scrub down with lye soap after I was around him. This guy's as slimy as they get. He's right up there with Henry Kissinger, who's now made a big splash in a lake of fire in hell. Just thought I'd mention that one too. By the way, Newark Airport, now everybody else is talking about, we covered yesterday on the show, their airport controller is saying, another one is saying, don't fly to Newark, it is not safe. So why the FAA has not gotten involved in this, I have no idea, Austin, unless they're doing damage control. But this airport, it says, the particular air traffic control facility has been chronically understaffed for years. And without these controllers, it's now clear the FAA, the Newark airport cannot handle the number of planes that are scheduled to operate there in the weeks and the months ahead. After last week, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy issued a plea for more air traffic controllers, offering $5,000 bonuses for new hires. So we covered some of this yesterday. So I can honestly say to you guys, stay out of Newark Airport. They're warning you now. They can't handle it. And if that happens, you're going to have runway incursions, Austin.
That's exactly right.
No, I'm telling you, I've been involved in one of those already, and that's a real scary thing when that happens. You've got to watch out how many planes are landing, how they're being directed. And not only that, you have to make sure that a plane doesn't cross an active runway when somebody's landing on it. This is very important. If you don't have the guys trained properly in the control towers, you have all kinds of impacts imminent. And that's why these pilots that are being brought in through DEI hires, Austin, don't have the hours or the abilities to handle some of these aircraft, and the air traffic controllers don't have it either. I'm going to say one thing about flying an airplane. It is unbelievably dangerous. It is not.
It is
no,
that.
No. I mean, I remember when I took my FFA flight exam, the guy told me, his name was Chuck. He told me, he says, Ted, be careful. Flying these planes is unbelievably dangerous. You can die. He was not joking. His father had died from an aircraft. He was training a student, and the student killed both of them. This is back in the 70s that happened to him. And I've seen it over and over and over again. You see all these planes. Remember that plane a few months ago, last year, Austin, landed on the interstate.
Yep.
And his wing caught the corner of that pylon or whatever it did, tore the wing off. It all exploded in flames. The people got out. Both the pilots died. This is something that people need to understand. When you fly on an airplane, you better know that you're in a safe place. That's why a lot of these startup airlines, they don't hire the pilots that have the most experience. They don't. They get the cheapest pilots they can find. And one thing you don't want is a cheap pilot. You know, there was a TV movie that came out years ago. It says there are old pilots and there are bold pilots. But there ain't no old bold pilots. They didn't make it. Just thought I'd mention this. You don't want to be with a bold pilot who's willing to take risks when you're on an airplane. Stay out of Newark. What do you think, Austin?
I would too. Be very cautious as far as with flights. I mean, there's a reason why all these issues are happening right now. And I mean, you know, one thing that I saw the other day too, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's starting to pop up now when I'm hearing about as far as shortages coming into the port of Los Angeles. There's an article that popped up earlier today. And it was talking about basically one of the port chiefs and Port of Los Angeles executive director. He got on basically Twitter the other day, or X, and he said U.S. has about roughly 5 to 7 weeks of supplies in the pipeline before we start seeing massive shortages if the tariff is not resolved. And one of the biggest issues that's coming about now that's basically getting brought up is how these boats are coming over here, these shipments are coming over here, and they're like 30% full. And he said there's a big issue with this that nobody's starting to address. Here's the article on Newsweek and a couple other places talked about it. And this is why I've told everybody. He said port authorities are warning of precipitous decline in shipping volumes in the U.S., noting several major retail outlets are stopping all shipments from China based on tariffs. And it's starting to have a trickle-down effect on everything. Now, whether or not this is some fear porn they want to try to use as an excuse, I don't think it is completely, because I do know for a fact I've already talked to certain suppliers, and some of them are just not reordering right now. I know a guy that does a whole lot of custom lighting with floodlights, security lights, lights for vehicles, and he has put in no more shipments now, no more orders from China. So he has a factory he works with over there for all these different lighting systems. He got his last shipment in, and he got hit with tariffs on it, and he said, done. I'm working on current inventory that I have, and he's starting to look for new suppliers now. The problem with that is we're going to have this weird transitionary period if this happens.
Well, we can't get product.
Right. Where product's not going to show up, but there's not enough supply line chain to get anything running. Same thing like with our supplements. You know, when usually I put a PO in with my supplier. We're doing a big order of something. It takes anywhere from about 8 to 12 weeks from the start of the PO to the delivery of my office. So that's about 2 to 3 months. That's what you're about to see this gap in right now. That's one of the reasons why, you know, I've stocked up on more food buckets right now at the office. I've added, so I told Ruben to basically get more meat buckets in and get more organic food buckets in just to have. They're 25-year shelf life. They're not going bad anytime soon. And yeah. The problem with it is, you know, a lot of this stuff, it has a trickle-down effect. For example, a lot of the food is supplied here in the United States, packaged here in the United States. But what about the plastic buckets?
That's exactly right.
So what happens is you start having all the little inconsistencies that start having shortages, but then they have this ripple effect on the entire industry, because then it's like, okay, well, we have the food supply. Well, now we got to source buckets real quick. Where do we get buckets from right now? Then you got to start calling up other suppliers for buckets. Well, then you find out the buckets are going to be 4 or 5 times more than they were coming in from China. And then you got to get them to get them for you. And so it's the little things like that that a lot of people aren't talking about. And so, again, just right now, if you have stuff, you want to stay stocked up on it, my opinion, I've always said this, have about at least a month to 2 months supply of backup food, whether it's MREs, whether it's the food buckets. And on top of that, make sure you have a little backup supplements. If you're taking the berberine to maintain your blood sugar, you know, keep an extra bottle or two on hand. Don't wait until you're completely out of subs that are maintaining your health and say, I need them right now. We'll take care of you. But again, we're even running shortages where stuff's just getting slower and slower to get right now. And that's why we had an issue with one of the collagen products, too. Nothing to do with China, but everything's just changing a lot.
It really is. By the way, here's an article, how your mouth could be killing your heart. Now, I dealt with this myself. You know, back when I was 27 years old, I had gotten my teeth cleaned, and they had gotten extremely aggressive with the teeth cleaning.
You got to watch out for that. They don't do that as much anymore.
No, I'm going to cover this. This is important. And I ended up getting bacteria in my bloodstream from my teeth cleaning. Well, you know, about 2-3 weeks later, I'm driving down the interstate on Interstate 70, Interstate 10, and I wrote about this in my book, Maximum Energy. And all of a sudden, I had a heart attack. I mean, a major, major cardiac episode. And, you know, it wasn't that my heart had basically gotten to a point where, you know, I was having blockages, but I had bacteria attacking the pericardial sac, and it felt like
it
heart
flames.
Attack.
What does the pericardial sac that surrounds the heart, cardiac muscle, start swelling up because it gets infected, it gets bacteria in it?
It happens.
So it starts cramping down on the heart, and it feels like an elephant standing on you.
No, it happened to me, and it was after my teeth got cleaned. So when I saw this article, and it was months getting better over that. I almost checked out, almost departed the planet. But, you know, it was crazy. And God sent forth his word, and he healed me, and he rescued me from the grave. Let me tell you what happened with this. This is an interesting story. I wasn't recovering from this. And I had a friend of mine. His name was Jeff, and he was a naturopathic physician. And he had come to Tallahassee to go to the Miami, Florida State football game. And I had met him earlier that summer, you know, a few months earlier, on a cruise that we had gone on. And what was funny about it is when I ended up basically talking to him and being with him and hanging out with him, he watched what I was eating, and he told me, he says, well, if you keep eating unclean food, primarily pork, you're not going to recover because that undigested protein from the ureas from the pork is going to basically go into your bloodstream, and this bacteria is going to feed on it. You're not going to get better. He told me that. And I thought, well, this guy's a loon. Why would he say this? He's not a cardiologist. I've already talked to these doctors. They never told me this. But I listened to him because I went back. I read a book by Elmer Josephson. It's called God's Keys to Health and Happiness. Great book. A little paperback, easy to read, and he started talking about pork. And now we find out the World Health Organization said that the consumption of pork is the number one cause of cancer globally. Well, God knew all this, why he warned you not to eat it. So I stopped eating that stuff, and I was also drinking a lot of coffee. I came completely off of coffee. It took me a while to do that, several weeks. And I started gradually recovering, and this bacterial stuff started going away. But it was a real nip and tuck for me for a minute. I mean, I was coughing all the time. It was horrible. Let me read this. The mouth is often described as a window to overall health. For good reason. A growing body of research reveals a significant link between poor dental hygiene and cardiovascular disease. While these two areas of health may seem unrelated, the condition of your oral health can have far-reaching effects on your heart. Gum disease and oral infections can trigger inflammation and allow harmful bacteria into the bloodstream. In severe cases, lead to direct infection of heart tissue, including pericarditis. Together, these effects contribute to serious, sometimes life-threatening cardiovascular conditions. At the center of this connection lies periodontitis, a form of gum disease caused by long-term plaque buildup and inadequate oral hygiene. Left untreated, it can irritate and inflame gum tissues. The breakdown gives oral bacteria easier access into the bloodstream. Everyday actions like brushing and flossing or chewing, and especially dental procedures, can provide a pathway for these microbes to travel into the body. Once the bloodstream, certain bacteria can attach to the endothelium, the inner lining of the blood vessels. This disrupts the cardiovascular barrier, making it easier for infection to spread throughout the body, including vital organs. In extreme cases, it can lead to organ failure, even death. Systemic inflammation is one of the main ways oral health affects heart health. Chronic peritonitis triggers prolonged immune response, increasing the levels of key inflammatory markers such as cytokines. These molecules can damage blood vessels lining and contribute to the development of atherosclerotic plaquing. Inflammation is now recognized as not only a symptom of cardiovascular disease, but also a driving force behind it. Poor oral hygiene can increase the risk. People with pre-existing valve abnormalities or congenital heart defects are particularly vulnerable. And it goes on to say, all of this stuff can be controlled and contained if you maintain a healthy diet, you avoid alcohol, basically avoid diabetes. In other words, don't forget yourself so you have sugar all the time in your system as far as adult onset diabetes. It says, don't do tobacco, Austin.
Yeah.
Don't do chew.
Yeah.
Okay. Austin was addicted to that junk when he was young. You know, you say, well, here's the question. I'm not picking on Austin on this because a lot of people chew tobacco.
It's a Southern thing, man.
No, it is.
A lot of people do it younger years.
No, I saw it in my mom's, in the German beer tavern we were in, and I watched these guys spitting in the containers all the time.
No, yeah.
It was disgusting. And I thought as a young child, that's just really nasty. Okay, I remember we did that one movie, Predator, remember? Remember?
Yeah, it's in the helicopter.
He spits on the guy's boot. And you go, that's a nasty habit.
That's probably one of the best alien sci-fi films. You know, it's funny. They make a film like that in the 80s, right? Predator.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
And they can't come up with anything better than that still. The first one, they've made like 15 different remakes. Oh, yeah. They still go off the same thing from the 80s. The 80s and 90s, in my opinion, were untouched when it came to films.
They really had.
All the crap now is always, we're coming up number 5, we're coming up number 10, we're coming out with a remake, we're remaking this for the third time. It's like, dude, what about all the original stuff you guys had in the 80s and 90s?
So here's the question. If you have a child like Austin who decides they're going to do chew.
Like me.
Oh, I'm picking on you.
Oh, you pick on me.
They already know you did that because I already told them. You told them the other day.
I stopped it, though.
Yeah, no, he stopped it. He didn't do it anymore.
5 years on it.
And the thing about it is, when you do that, don't feel as though that was your fault as a parent who didn't do that, because peer pressure and a lot of other people get involved with children being raised.
It's a social thing. You're hanging out with everybody. You're going to the mud holes. You're going out hunting all the time. And it's like at some point in time, you're going to be around somebody that's different. Well, no, it is.
He's right.
It's really addicting. It's unbelievably addictive. Yeah. You start doing it, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh, that was fun. Well, now I need another dip. Now I'm going to buy another can.
What I love are people that are addicted to nicotine say, it's not addictive.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, whatever. Now I get that argument all the time. It's good for you.
If you are having an issue with it, one of the biggest things, there's two items that I found that actually work good, oddly enough, and it's a cinnamon extract and ALA, the alpha-lipoic acid formula. Both of those actually can help push off cravings with nicotine. Just giving you guys personal preference on that.
What are they again? People want to know again.
ALA, alpha-lipoic acid, and cinnamon extract. Now, cinnamon extract has a low dose of ALA in it, but they have to be taken together, and they have to be taken in high doses. The ALA, for some odd reason, you can look up the research on it. Alpha-lipoic acid, also, it's a massive antioxidant, and it can help stave off cravings. On top of that, make sure you're getting a lot of 5-HTP and B-complex in, because what happens is when you cut off the nicotine, your dopamine goes down. Because your receptors are used to getting that dopamine trigger from the nicotine on a regular basis. So you get this kind of effect for the first couple of days. Which tells you, everybody's dealt with this nose. It's what happens is you have to make sure you're keeping your body really strong with your mental awareness. And on top of that, watch out for the stuff that triggers it. You get done with a meal, you want to throw one in. You're at a movies. And so what happens is you'll do something, you'll get that craving. Get some organic gum. If smoking, nicotine, dip, whatever it is, get some regular gum without any of that in it, and that'll help out a lot. The issue now is these doggone vapes. They are 100 times worse. The reason why is because you're getting an entirely new level of dosing of nicotine all day long. You're not throwing in a lip for 30 minutes or an hour and then not throwing one in for 4 or 5 hours later. This stuff hit all day.
Surgeon General Koop, he basically said many decades ago that nicotine was as addictive as heroin.
It's pretty addictive.
Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know.
I don't know about that. I've never tried heroin.
I remember my mom, you know, being the survivor of World War II and basically suffering from severe post-traumatic stress syndrome. She used to smoke a lot. We talked about this. And I remember one time she would have her little children, that would be me and my sister, light her cigarettes for her. Don't judge me on this. Just let this one go, okay? And because I don't smoke, and Lois doesn't smoke, my sister. But what was crazy about it is she'd always ask us to light her cigarettes. Well, I thought that was the coolest thing, because back then, like, everybody smoked.
Yeah. It was all over TV.
So I remember one day she'd left her pack of cigarettes in the house, and she was over the beer tavern. And so I thought, I'm going to smoke me a cigarette. I was 8 years old. I was eight.
Yeah.
I was 100 years, right? And I remember I'll never forget, I was on a little green chair in the living room. I'm sneaking around, you know, like, look at me, right? And I light this thing up, and I take a full drag on one. I mean, I inhaled.
A full one.
I mean, I literally fell on the floor. Luckily, I didn't burn the house down with a cigarette because I'd, like, lost it all. And I'm coughing and cacking and acting like I'm about to die, and I'm by myself. And I'm to myself.
You get the spins?
And after that, every time she'd ask me to light a cigarette, I'd say, no.
No.
I'm done. I don't want to be involved with this. You know, this is awful. And, you know, but the problem is once you force your body to do it, then that nicotine gets in those lungs. Now it gets addictive.
Well, that's the thing. If anybody knows, the first couple times you get exposed to nicotine, it makes you sick.
No, yeah.
It does make you sick. First time you dip, first time you smoke, you get sick from it. You don't feel good. You get dizzy. But then, like, you want to try it again. Then you try it again about third or fourth time. You're like, well, this feels really good now.
Well, yeah. But anyhow, so tobacco weakens gum tissue. It's
oh, yeah, bad.
System.
Bad.
Alcohol can dry out the mouth. Alcohol can also, a lot of alcohol, can cause all types of problems with mouth cancers and,
yes,
and mandible cancer here in the bone, okay, and disrupt the oral microbiome. And poorly controlled diabetes impairs circulation and slows wound healing, worsening both periodontal and cardiovascular conditions. The overlap doesn't make the research less meaningful, however. You basically have to have healthy oral hygiene. Is very important. You need to brush your teeth for a couple of minutes morning and evening, and you need to make sure you floss your teeth on a regular
mouthwash
basis.
Too.
And you can put mouthwash. We have a really good organic mouthwash at the office. It works great.
Hydrogen peroxide is really clean.
And hydrogen peroxide, you got to be careful too much hydrogen peroxide because it can damage the
gums. Well, that's in our mouthwash, though, in the proper dosage solution.
Then it's okay. But it'll kill all that stuff. But be very, very careful, because I can attest to you, and so can Austin, that, you know, mouth health is extremely critical.
Yes.
And you don't want a receding set of gums because you got chew or dip in there all the time.
No, it will do it too.
Oh, yeah, so just avoid that. What's your next story, buddy?
This is an interesting article here. Now, we're talking about the chemtrails again now. So they're really pushing in Florida. The Florida Senate now has got this thing, like, approved on the floor. Now, whether or not this thing, House of Representatives, this gets all the way to DeSantis, says the bill makes it a third-degree felony to release any chemical substance or apparatus into Florida's atmosphere to affect the weather or climate. It also requires Florida Department of Environmental Protection to develop protocols to investigate any reports of geoengineering and directs the department to send the reports to other state agencies, including the health department, when appropriate. They said there's a lot of unauthorized activity in the skies of Florida that is currently not regulated, both federal and state level, and this is where we want to start. Now, we talked about this a couple months ago, how in the world they're going to enforce this. I mean, if you got a plane, it's a military plane, it's 40,000 feet up, and it's up an aerosol.
F-16, bud.
Yeah.
Because remember, the National Guard, the state of Florida,
that's true.
They could go up and they can tell the plane to come down. They can take it down.
That's
and
true.
I know Dane Whittington, who's a friend of mine, he's been on the show many times, and he does stuff on geoengineering all the time. He's one of the ones who's been instrumental with all of this.
With one Florida?
No, with all of it. All the whole country. Everybody being aware of what's going on.
Well, I know
on.
Your buddy, you know, over in Lakeland, we go over there. He's got the contract. He's one of the hangers for the Florida State Guard.
That's right.
He's got that doggone Blackhawk in there the other day.
Yeah, I did.
And so, I mean, you're right. I mean, that can't go up that high, but you're right. Because we do have F-16s in Florida.
We do. And what I asked Dane, I said, have you ever been able to take a sample? Because it's very difficult, you know, 40,000 feet to get set, because you got
it's cold.
Well, no, it's the decompression. It's the air. It's almost in a vacuum up there. It's so cold, and the air is so thin. And he says, yes, we have actually had planes that have gone up and gone behind a chemtrail releasing aircraft and picked up samples of it. He said it is loaded with barium and aluminum. And so Dane told me that years ago. And so so that's the same thing you could do. You could send an F-16 or F-18 up and just say, you got to come down. This is it.
Well, it says the bill has cleared both the House and the Senate. It's awaiting Governor Santos' signature. I mean, it's cleared.
Well, the same thing has happened now with fluoride. It's awaiting Governor DeSantis' signature, taking fluoride out of all the municipal water supplies because these misinformed dentists
signs the fluoride and gets the fluoride out, he signs this chemtrail bill, that's a big deal in Florida.
Well, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of being outside having to breathe this sludge.
Well, no, you know, there's nothing much more frustrating. I think everybody's experienced this, and this is no conspiracy to this at all. I've been out in Florida where we'll get up early. We're going to go on the lake. We're going to the beach. It's 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. Skies are clear blue. Brilliant blue. And all of a sudden, you're laying out on the beach. You're out in the boat, and you see the planes, certain planes, contrails. A little trail behind them disappears. Then you see these planes coming from one side of the horizon to the other, and they leave a trail the entire way.
Sometimes they'll do a grid pattern.
And it doesn't dissipate. You see the same plane come back. I've sat there, laid there on the boat, watching. I'm like, the same planes come back. And then it doesn't dissipate. It just slowly starts getting bigger.
Turns into cirrus clouds, yeah.
And then after about 4 or 5 hours of it, the entire sky is hazed over. There's no conspiracy about that. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people have acknowledged it's a problem. And, I mean, to the fact that the doggone House and Florida Senate are putting a bill to stop this.
Well, you can't – and I personally believe this is one of the reasons that the agriculture has been so damaged with the citrus. I don't think
the aluminum.
Because the aluminum – feeder roots – and this happened out west, too, with a lot of the trees out there on Mount Shasta.
Yep.
You know, they can't handle the aluminum. And you're dumping all this poison into the ground. And so it's awful.
No, and that's exactly right. And it's funny because I told you earlier, I talked to a buddy of mine of what – is going on with the issue with the DEFs, and he said they're starting to run into a lot of these issues out in farms out in the Midwest.
This is a diesel particulate matter thing.
So you remember in 2008, just a brief summary on this, in 2008, the EPA and their infinite stupidity decided that they were going to mandate DEF filters, be giant diesel filters on trucks on the road.
It's like a what do you call it? It's like that, what's the filter they put on the car? Is the catalytic converter.
Converter, but on steroids, a whole other issue. So what happens is all these trucks now, every new truck, every diesel truck, every tractor, every piece of equipment.
Every tractor with a certain CC.
Yep.
The big boys all get it. Mm-hmm.
So they have this giant filter, and you have to put DEF fluid, which is made basically of urea. And so what it does, it blows through the DEF filter when it goes into a region every, you know, few thousand miles or hours, depending on the setup. And then it pumps out massive amounts of ammonia. Well, the problem that he's saying this now is that a lot of this stuff is this ammonia that they're using. It's putting out huge amounts of ammonia in these tractors. It's causing these plants to be much, much smaller and not grow as
poisoning the soil.
It's poisoning the soil. So they have these more compounds, more chemicals, more different fertilizers, you know, setups to try to get the food to grow. And nobody's asking the question, why is this happening? It's the same thing, like you said, with the aluminum.
Well, I know when I have an excavator up north, and I basically use it, and I can run the excavator. And it has a small enough engine, and it doesn't require DEF added
right
to it. But if you go very big on these tractors and this farm equipment, you've got to run the DEF. And the sad part about it is, like you said, when it goes into a regen motor, it just pumps out the ammonia.
Well, that's what he said. He goes, ammonia is crucial as far as with plants. He said, but the amount of ammonia that the tractors are pumping out is not even close to anything natural or normal.
Yeah.
I mean, they're spewing out, I mean, bellowing out mass amounts of ammonia.
Well, the ammonia is used basically as fertilizer.
Yeah.
But not in giant amounts.
But not in giant amounts.
It burns the plants.
Exactly.
So
it burns the plants. They turn yellow, and they don't grow as good. Because he said what's happened is the excessive concentration is not normal, never found anything. It's not even a fertilizer with these levels of ammonia out with these giant pieces of equipment that are pumping all this DEF fluid through the filters. So thought I'd put that out.
So we'll see what happens with all that. But you know, the whole thing about it is with the chemtrails and stuff, I mean, it's something that's why we put together the magnesium brain food.
Yep.
Because that magnesium theanate can actually go into the brain, pass through the blood-brain barrier. I was getting brain fog, and it completely went away with this. And, you know, I remember the first time I released that product on Hagman Show, gosh, this might be 10 years ago now, Austin. I remember that, you know, we had all a huge outcrying of people wanting the product, because if you can find something that can actually pass through the blood-brain barrier, help pull the heavy metals back out, that's a big deal. I'm not making any claims on this from a health standpoint, but I'm saying I no longer have brain fog. I feel great all the time, so it's just part of it, I guess.
Well, no, it's a huge deal, and that's why the product's been so extremely popular, because people get results from it almost immediately within a few days.
Oh, by the way, this is interesting. A person is stalking Jennifer Aniston again, okay? And the intruder is held up at gunpoint after ramming car through the gates of her Bel Air mansion.
Sure, she probably has security detail.
No, this is what we're good. I'm not covering this because I care about Jennifer Aniston.
I was about
Aniston,
to say, okay? Okay? Bubblegum story.
An intruder was held at gunpoint by Jennifer Aniston's security team after smashing through the gates of her mansion while her friend star was at home. All right, here's the deal. All of her guards are heavily armed.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay, and I don't know how she feels about guns. I'm not even bringing that into this. But to me, it's the epitome of hypocrisy. You know, when a person says, nobody should have guns but me because I have to have a security detail.
Okay. I'm sure she has a hot security detail. Sort of. They're full fire.
They're probably running MP5s.
Too high profile.
She's high profile. So the crazy part about all of this stuff is that when these Hollywood people come out and they want to be liberals against gun, et cetera, it's funny. It's rules for thee, but not for me. I have to have a security team to protect me. What the heck is that all about?
You can have an over and under shotgun. That's all your revolver. That's all you're going to be able to access to.
According to TMZ, the security team rushed to the vehicle, pulled the driver out.
Security team.
It wasn't one person.
She didn't have a mall cop there.
Now, she had probably three or four people there. Rushed to the vehicle, they're probably ex-military.
I guarantee you, there's probably a fire team.
This is so funny. Yesterday, I'm at the Acropolis restaurant in Ybor City, having my normal spanakopita.
Yes, okay? They have great spanakopita there.
And I'm sitting there having my spanakopita, and I go to the bathroom, and it says, there's a picture of Trump on the back of this one guy's shirt.
Yeah.
And it said, make something great again, but I couldn't see it. And so I asked him, I said, what are you trying to make great again? Shotguns. I'm making shotguns great again with Trump.
It's in Florida.
And I can tell you, by the looks of these two dudes, they were contractors.
Oh, yeah.
These are both mercenaries. You know, they had the little beard thing like Austin has going on, all the rest, right? And I said, okay, these guys are pretty cool. And I said, I like shotguns. They said, you do? I said, yeah, I really do. And then now they're okay with me. But the funny thing about it is I saw that yesterday in a restaurant in an unbelievable liberal portion of Ybor City in Tampa. I just started laughing, Austin, because I thought to myself, at least these guys know a good Greek restaurant when they see it.
Well, you know, the thing about it is there's some amazing shotguns that have been released.
Benelli.
And, you know, and one of them has stepped the game up, and that's not a paid advertisement. But
oh, here
Mossberg just came out with their Aftershock semi-auto firearm. It's classified as a firearm, not a shotgun, my friends. 14-inch barrel, semi-automatic, 5-round capacity. You know, makes shotguns great again. These are great.
I still like the Benelli, and I also like that Sega shotgun that has a drum.
There's so many new brands now for that that have roughed out. You can't get the Sega anymore. They don't import them anymore.
Show a picture of the Sega with the drum.
Oh, I'll show you something better than that.
But I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's great. That's a great weapon. It has like a 20-round magazine, a 20-round drum magazine for a 12-gauge.
I see the Genesis.
Are you mumbling?
Yeah. The shotguns are just a heck of a gun.
Well, no, a shotgun is not a close quarter weapon, it is a close quarter weapon. It's not a long range weapon, but if in a close quarter situation, there's nothing better than a shotgun.
No, this is the new Genesis shotgun that came out off the Sega platform. This includes a 5-inch barrel with a suppressor system. This is all tax stamp class 3. Make sure you follow all firearm laws in the United States.
No, really, make sure you do that. Make sure you get a tax stamp.
This is the new brand that's coming out now that we've been talking about.
$5,000?
Well, you wanted the top of the cream of the crop.
Well, I didn't want to spend $5,000 for a shotgun.
Well, you asked about make shotguns great again.
Does it have a suppressor on it?
Yeah, it's full suppressor system. Sounds like a pellet gun.
12-gauge.
12-gauge, yes.
Can you run magnum shells? Can you run magnum shells in it?
No, you run anything you want. It has almost no recoil.
No recoil.
This is the pinnacle. You said you want to see shotguns. This is the new shotgun platform.
Okay. If you guys want to buy me something, this would be it. But make sure you have tax stamp.
Yeah. Now, you get the longer barrel ones on there. Like, they make this one with an 18-inch barrel if you want a full size. This is no tax stamp. This is a regular shotgun.
Can you get a silencer for it?
You can get a silencer for anything, bro.
Does it have the screw through the screw barrel?
I already started.
Okay, so you have an 18. So it's the same thing, 18-inch barrel.
Uh-huh. No tack stamp. It's just regular shotgun.
I've got a real problem with rabbits in the yard.
Wait, they're expanding.
They are. But a 12-gauge on a rabbit's a bit much.
That's excessive.
I guess you'd have to use birdshot.
That's excessive.
But, I mean, it's crap. No, we have rabbits everywhere.
Shotguns, we like our shotguns down here in Florida. Remember, first shotgun I ever got was Mossberg 500 ATP pump shotgun, 18-inch.
That's a great gun.
Got my office by my desk. That was my first hog gun I ever took. And, good times.
This show goes everywhere.
Well, yeah. But now, this is an interesting story here. I thought I would bring this up. This is interesting. So, Israel unleashed a massive strike on Yemen a few hours ago.
Yemen? Well, they've hit Yemen a bunch, though.
30 jet. No, this is a full air raid.
Wow.
In conjunction with U.S. military assistance. Don't forget.
Well, they dropped the missiles, you know, on the airport, on Ben Gurion Airport. Yep.
They got pretty mad about that. And, you know, I got to clarify this, so don't send me emails. Let me clarify this. I'm going to make this really clear so there's no miscommunication. I do not care about any of these countries over there. They're not my problem. The United States is my focus. No, I'm going to clarify that. I just don't want my money sent to wars that we don't need to be in. Let these guys figure it out on their own. They've been fighting since the beginning of biblical times. Again, not my problem, not my circus, not my monkey. But I thought it was just interesting. It's not. It's, I don't care. I just want my money to stay in the United States and rebuild our infrastructure and expand our roadway. You know, some 4-lanes been coming up fast on I-4.
Told you. I told you the other day.
Gosh, DeSantis said he was putting like an emergency on that with a DOT. They had to do something.
Well, no, they built the doggone extra lane like in 4 or 5 months.
They stripped the side of the road off and they did construction. I got on the other day, 4th lane's opened up.
All the way to Orlando. And the traffic was moving better.
Yeah.
But it is a time of the year we don't have as many people here. Oh, by the way, considering the spending bill is now $1.32 trillion. Can you believe this?
No. Remember, Elon Musk is going to save us all with Doge, so we're not spending any more money.
Well, no, Elon Musk wants to move to Mars.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. He said the sun's going to expand, it's going to destroy the Earth, and we have to have another planet to go to.
I think Mars already got destroyed. I hate to tell him,
but Elon Musk, well, they say we have bases on Mars.
I don't know. It looks like infrastructure used to be on Mars.
Well, they say we're still there. I mean, I hear some crazy stories. Now, I haven't been to Mars.
We can't even figure out what's inside Antarctica.
Well, we know what's inside Antarctica.
We'll release it.
A big no-go. Can't go there unless you want to be, you know.
Is it an ice wall? Is it a continent? Is it a hole?
Is your
what did Admiral Byrd say? I don't know. I haven't been there.
And let me tell you something about the shape of the Earth. Here it goes. You ready? Here it goes. You guys have been telling me to do this for years now.
Oh, gosh.
Here it goes. Ready?
All right.
Here's the shape of the Earth. I have no idea. You know, and the point is we're all here, and it's not really kind of a planet. It has more of a realm, more of a holographic thing.
I think we're almost in a matrix. It's just a simulation.
I think we are.
I don't know.
Well, no. Here's why, too, because we talk about it. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Yeah.
The power of life and death is in the tongue. And I've seen people their whole lives speak super negative stuff about themselves and their family.
And their whole life turns negative.
No, their whole life goes into an absolute crap hole. Excuse my language. If I could say something different than that, would be more apropos, but it's that bad.
Frequency and energy are very real.
And see, this whole planet is just an energy field. I know that for a fact because of quantum mechanics, and I've studied and I've done shows on it before. So I know if we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which you hear me say that, you know, a lot on this show, or I commit my plans unto the Lord, therefore they will succeed. And I try to be positive in my affirmations that I make every single day, and I use them in my prayer life. I know my life goes better. But then I know people that are always speaking negative stuff about themselves, and their life goes into the septic tank.
Which is funny. I talked to a good buddy of mine the other day, and he was asking about trying to get some direction as far as goals, focus, you know, going and really expand as he gets older. And I said, well, what's on your top 25 goal list? What's on your notebook? He goes, what do you mean? I said, I've talked to many wealthy people, including Jim Rohn, who I met, who's an awesome guy. I said, he's, you know, passed now, but that's great stuff. And he said the first exercise he always made anybody do, he goes, money's not an option. No, don't put any context on finances. I want you to sit there, take a notebook. I want you to write down 25 things you'd like to accomplish, do, see, visit, experience, period. No cash on it. Doesn't matter. Any amount of money. And he goes, you'd be surprised how few people can actually get to 25. Because they get to like 10 or 15, they run out of ideas. And he goes, that's the first exercise. He goes, what happens is when you start forcing your body to think about things, whether you want to be a better father, this, you want to spend more time with your kids, you want to create a business, you want to experience this, you want to go on a trip here. It doesn't matter. There's no restriction on it. He goes, it makes your brain start thinking about different goals and ideas. And once you write it down, you have to see it. He goes, we have ideas and goals every single day that pop up. We got different dreams. What happens is, though, you think about them, and they're like fleeting. They go in the wind. You never think about them again. When you write it down on paper and you go back and look at it every week, it makes your brain look at it and acknowledge it again. And then what happens is when you keep looking at it, your brain starts thinking, I have not completed this task yet. Why have I not, and how can I? So you start actually subconsciously trying to figure out ways to accomplish those goals on that piece of paper every day when you look at them. And eventually, I tell you this, you will start completing those tasks, and you'll put a line through them, and you put a line through them, and you put a line through them. May not be this week, may not be next month, may not be this year, may not be this decade. But if it's something that's important and you're focusing on it, you will be able to accomplish it eventually if you set your mind to it. But the first step in doing that is acknowledging what you want to accomplish, setting it down on paper, looking at it, and then focusing on ways to achieve it. Those are crucial things to start any place and time in your life.
And the Bible talks about it this way, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is
exactly
he.
Right.
And what happens is, as we continue to focus on goals and dreams and aspirations and stuff that most people don't have, what happens is our body starts to basically find ways to make that happen.
Exactly.
And also is faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Right.
And so if we have faith, then we know we can please God, because it says it's impossible to have, you know, to please him without faith.
Yep.
And so when you speak to things that are not as if they were, what it does, it puts the angels and these other entities and these other dimensions at work to help you to accomplish those goals. Now, I know that sounds a bit odd, but I've talked about it before on the show. Now, it goes a little further than that. In the back of the brain, you have what's called a reticulator activator.
Yep.
And what it does, it screens stuff for you. Like right now, I'm looking at the camera, but I can look at this. I've got my iPad here. I've got my iPhone here. I got all this other stuff sitting up on the counter, including my glasses. And so I'm focusing on the camera instead of all this other stuff, because my reticulator activator is telling my brain to look at you guys at the camera. The same thing happens with goals and dreams and aspirations. If you tell your reticulator activator what it needs to get and look for, it will do that. Now, the one thing that's interesting about this, and this is really important, this is super important, that reticulator activator does not understand a joke. So if you self-deprecate, it'll create that environment. If you say, well, I never get anything done right, that's a really negative confession. So that reticulator activator then hears, okay, I got to make sure that I never get anything done right. Well, wait a minute. You mean I can actually do that to myself? Yeah. It doesn't understand what a joke is. It focuses on the things that you want, not understanding a joke or self-deprecation.
It has no sense of humor.
It has no sense of humor. It's a computer program, basically. It's literal. Whatever you tell it, it's going to do it. So when you put yourself down or put somebody else down, you end up creating a reality around them.
It's called the reticular activating system. That's the actual key name for it. It is a network of neurons in the brain stream that plays a crucial role in regulating wakefulness, sleep, and attention. It filters incoming sensory information. It acts as a gatekeeper, selecting and prioritizing information that is relevant to the individual's current state of consciousness and goals. This is biology. This is it. This is real.
You know, Jerry Rhino Clark, he has a CD series. It's called Creating Magic, and he talks about this. And that's where I was first exposed to this. And I remember I went through like almost 10 years of college. I never heard about this.
No, they never talk about college ever.
No, ever. But he covered it in that series, Creating Magic. And it's not magic like, you know, voodoo, that kind of stuff. He doesn't do that. But he talked about what happens when you focus that reticulator activator to do what you want it to do. That becomes faith. And without faith, like I mentioned earlier, it's impossible to please God. And this faith allows you to basically focus on what you want to dream. That's why, instead of saying something negative about yourself, always put a comma behind everything you say and say, that's because that's the way I want it to be. Because you're going to create it. If you speak it, you're going to get it. And so, as you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, comma, because that's the way I want it to be. I commit my plans unto the Lord, comma, because that's the way I want it to be. I accomplish all my goals, all my dreams, all my aspirations, because that's the way I want it to be. Now, the biggest problem that you run into is it doesn't happen like that. Like Austin said, it may take a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. It doesn't happen overnight because you created so much negativity in your life in many cases that you think that you can go ahead and just pretend like it's going to happen to you today. But the negative stuff's already created a physical reality around you that you've already created. It's like being in a concrete sarcophagus, and you can't get out of it. You have to slowly break and chip it away. That's why it's so important.
Perfect example. Okay. I want to be a lean 200 pounds down from 300 pounds. I'm saying, but that's the way I want it to be. You want to lose weight. I want to get in shape. I want to drop 50 pounds, whatever your goal is. You're not going to drop 50 pounds tomorrow just because you said that and you start eating, you know, salad and chicken. You've added on pounds of fat year after year after year. And I'm not picking about it. I'm just letting you know that's how it works. So you have to undo all the negativity and undo the body fat and slowly burn it off. And it takes time with action.
And when that's why it's important, if you have a goal to lose 100 pounds, which I know a lot of people do, you don't start with 100 pounds. You start with 10.
Write it down. Write down the incremental goals.
I'm going to lose 10 pounds this week, this month.
This month.
Okay, 2 pounds a week. And you go, my goal is by the 1st of June or the 1st of July or whatever it's going to be, that I will be 10 pounds lighter. Don't say 100 pounds lighter because it won't happen. You're not going to lose 100 pounds.
What happens? You have to have incremental goals and you have to have long-term goals. If you do everything on long-term goals, the psyche will get burned out. I'm going to accomplish this by 2030. That's a great goal. What's in the meantime? Because you can't sit there and go, well, I'm going to accomplish this by 2030, by 26, by 27, by 20.
You have to have activity goals.
You're going to be like, golly, it's 2028 and I still haven't accomplished anything that I have on my list yet because you had all these 10-year goals. That's why you got to have 1 month, quarterly. Why do you think companies always have monthly goals they try to set? They've got quarterly goals. They always are trying to hit something. They don't go, by 2035, we want to make this much money. No, by this month, we need to do
incremental goals.
Incremental goals. Very important.
I've got a friend of mine. She had some a gastric sleeve put in. And she said she needed to lose 100 pounds, 120 pounds. And she basically started working on it 1 pound at a time.
Yeah.
The doctor says, well, you could probably lose 50 pounds doing this.
Yeah.
She did. She wasn't going to accept that. She wanted to lose 100, and she did. She lost all the weight because she knew she had the focus on it, and she continued to push it and push it and push it until she got down to where she wanted to be.
Exactly right.
And that's the key with anything. But now, if you do that and you decide to go ahead and really cut back on your caloric intake or you have some type of bypass done, make sure you take supplements. I mean, I'm telling you.
Oh, you got it.
Oh, my gosh.
One of the biggest ones, the multiple powder. That right there.
Oh, that'll.
You got to run that. Product.
That'll change. That's good. That was good.
Because what happens is the body's not getting proper nutrients anymore, and a lot of times you're very lacking.
You'll start losing hair. You'll start having depression. You'll start
fingernails
having
will start not growing. I mean, that's.
Oh, by the way, $1.32 trillion spending bill, largest U.S. history. Core Impact. We lose full breakdown of all of this stuff, and you know I could do this tomorrow. We'll talk about
But what
is this? A $1.32 trillion spending bill, massive deficit spending, more treasury issuance, more debt monetization by the Fed, especially as buyers dry up. All you know is the goal of every central bank is the same, to become both the buyer and the lender of last resort, to own
everything.
All.
It's a monopoly. It's a monopoly game. What's the goal on the monopoly board?
Own it all.
Own all the properties. Make everybody pay you rent at your hotel.
I bet you a banker put that Monopoly game
together. Oh, that's exactly what it was. That's the whole thing. It's the overall goal. They want to own all the properties.
Everybody's the Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender.
Yep.
Period. Oh, and then also do financial goals for yourself to help yourself get out of debt.
That's true.
Do physical goals to get healthy. Always have goals going in all the areas of your life, body, soul, and spirit, and mind, and everything. Be in church more. Read the Bible more. Set up goals and do it incrementally. And I tell you what, I'm the best father that's ever been. Great. That's a great confidence. Now, whether that's true or not, it doesn't make any difference. That's what I want to say to myself.
Yep. Just
always remember, speak the positive stuff and then put, because that's the way I want it to be. You know, do it that way and your life will change very quickly. By the way, always keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, because that's the way I want it to be and the way you need to have it be. I love you guys so much. Interesting show today. More of a fireside chat this last quarter.
We
love those. And Jim Rohn was a good friend of mine, and I also knew him too. So he was a good man.
Appreciate you guys. Go ahead and check out the website, D3, stock up on it. You have a fantastic evening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.
Love you guys.